Hi, my name is Brad Linscott, and I'm here to continue our series on .NET debugging for the production environment. In part two, we're going to focus on leveraging the power of Perfmon to help us determine what our problem definition is in the production environment. The agenda for this part is going to give a brief high-level overview of Perfmon. Then we'll talk about how data in Perfmon is broken down between objects, counters, and instances. And then we'll talk about briefly one approach to Perfmon, or my approach to Perfmon, in terms of helping me to determine what kind of issue that my production application is encountering so that I know what other kind of data I need to gather to find root cause. And then finally, we'll talk about some of the more common counters that you want to pay attention to when you're dealing with high CPU issues, memory issues, problems related specifically to ASP.NET, as well as managed exceptions. So what is Perfmon? It's a baked-in tool to the operating system that monitors the operating system and or processes for a wide variety of performance statistics. When you're searching, one tip I want to give our viewers is that when you're searching online for information about Perfmon, whether it's various bugs or how to configure Perfmon or how to automate it, you will find a lot more hits if you widen your search on a couple of different names for Perfmon. It also goes by the name Performance Monitor, System Monitor, or Sysmon. So there are things that you will find if you search for Sysmon that you may not necessarily find if you search for the Perfmon name. So just a searching tip for online. So Perfmon was not designed necessarily to find root cause of certain application issues, so it's not very good at that, but it is really good at helping us to define what kind of problem that we're facing. And in the production environment, this is key because we don't have the options that we might have in a pre-production environment to stop the application at will, because in the pre-production environments, obviously, we don't have end users to consider. So Perfmon has, in my opinion, is probably one of the most under-leveraged tools when it comes to troubleshooting applications in the production environment. And as we said in part one of this .NET debugging series for the production environment, obtaining a problem definition is crucial in terms of reducing the amount of time it takes to find root cause and put a solution in play to fix the problem. Perfmon versus Task Manager. I often get the question from customers when I go on site, especially when I'm working with system administrators, and I ask them, how do they identify, hey, this certain problem on a production server is encountering this problem or that problem? How do you go right to the server and identify it, whether it's high CPU or high memory? And a lot of times they'll tell me that they use Task Manager to use it. Task Manager is a great little tool that you can use to help you identify and verify what problem symptoms various applications might be exhibiting. But when we're talking about gathering data to help us verify and narrow down on a very specific problem definition, Perfmon has a few advantages over Task Manager. And this is one of the things that I always talk with my customers when I go on site, especially the system administrators, when we're trying to track down and gather data on an application that's hitting a crucial mission-critical application. One thing is Perfmon provides more detail. Task Manager simply doesn't have the detail that the various Perfmon counters provide. So when we gather our Perfmon counters, a lot of times we're able to tell a more complete story with Perfmon than we do by watching Task Manager every few seconds. Speaking of every few seconds, Perfmon provides you trending data over a period of time, however long you capture the Perfmon log. But Task Manager, as most of you know, will only show you what's happening every 1 second or so. So it doesn't provide necessarily a historical trend of what happened a certain time ago, whereas Perfmon will do that. And that's one of the reasons that I'm setting aside a whole session for this .NET debugging series just on Perfmon, because I've worked in Microsoft support for 11 years, and I can tell you there's been a lot of times that I have used Perfmon to help reduce the amount of time it takes for me to solve production issues. And I think it's a really, really powerful tool that can help us, especially when it comes to verifying and diagnosing our problem definition. So the data in Perfmon is broken down into basically three different sets of data that I pay attention to, and they're objects, encounters, and instances. Objects contain counters, and counters contain instances. Sometimes there are some counters that are not broken down into instances, and we'll get into that in the next slide. On the slide deck here, what we see is on the left-hand side a snapshot of what the Perfmon GUI looks like when we're trying to add counters and/or instances to our Perfmon graph to display and analyze. And on the right side is just a quick look at how the GUI has changed in Vista and beyond. So I mentioned objects, counters, and instances. Let's look into a little bit more detail into how these are broken out. An object relates to a specific aspect of the operating system or process or technology. So for example, you've got the system object in Perfmon, you've got the process object. There are objects specific to ASP.NET, to various aspects of SQL Server, to different aspects of WCF even. And you can also write your own Perfmon counters for your own custom applications. A counter will measure a specific metric within an object. So for example, there is a counter that will help to measure the amount of memory in a paged pool. There's a different counter that will tell you the number of handles opened by a given process. And then instances, if they exist for the specific counter, will get even more specific. So for example, the paged pool bytes counter in Perfmon covers the entire machine. So no instances are possible for this particular counter. On the other hand, the handle count counter is broken down into instances to where you can see the number of handles opened by every single process on the machine. So the process object is an example of one of the objects that has counters which themselves contain instances, where I've mentioned the handle count counter here as one of those counters. So one approach to Perfmon analysis, and this is the way that I have used it with a high degree of success at my career at Microsoft Support over the years. It's not uncommon for me to work, when I work with customers on their production application issues, to get problem definitions that are very vague. You know, the application is broken. I've had customers that aren't maybe not very familiar with the jargon that we use in the support industry that will tell me that their application is hung, when after I investigate, I find out that it's not necessarily hung, it's not responding, it's terminating unexpectedly or it's crashing. So Perfmon is a great tool that I use all the time, especially when I'm working with a customer for the first time or when I'm tackling a problem for the first time with a particular contact at the customer site, to help make sure that what they're telling me, the information that they're giving me, which is all I have to go from at the very start, is actually what's happening. It can help us to prove or disprove our problem definition, and it also can be used to help make sure that we are gathering data at the right time. So if we're dealing with an application that all of a sudden consumes all the CPU within a process, if I have a Perfmon log, I can see in Perfmon where a process is consuming all the CPU, and then I can also tell from the timestamp from the dump file that they took, does that coincide with when the target process was consuming all the CPU? Without that Perfmon log, it can be a little tricky sometimes to verify that all the dump was taken during a high CPU issue. So Perfmon makes our life a little bit easier in that respect. So again, here on the bullet points on the slide deck, if the problem definition is vague, then I use Perfmon a lot of times, especially during the first round or two of data gathering, to formulate a more specific problem definition. And if I get a specific problem definition to begin with, then I'll use Perfmon to provide data that either supports or opposes that problem definition. A great handbook for analyzing Perfmon counters when it comes to ASP.NET issues is the link that's on the slide deck here. It's called ASP.NET Performance Monitoring and When to Alert Administrators. This article was written many years ago by one of the ASP.NET developers in the product group, but even though it was written long ago, I still use it today. It's very relevant when troubleshooting ASP.NET performance issues. It provides a lot of detail on the different Perfmon counters that can help you diagnose your problems, as well as certain danger thresholds for various counters. And, you know, so for example, if you see that your application restarts counter is going above zero, that's something that you need to investigate. Not all counters have these thresholds that you need to pay attention to, but this article will point out the various counters that do have thresholds that you want to pay attention to. If they cross those thresholds, it could mean that you've got a problem in your application. So what counters do we pay attention to for CPU issues? In the process object, you've got a few different percentage counters that will measure the usage of a particular process or all the processes in total, whether it's user mode, kernel mode, or combined. What I typically use is the percent processor time. This includes both kernel as well as user mode, and I've used this to a high degree of success when helping me to work with application issues that deal with high CPU usage. I usually will check that one first, and then if I need to, depending on what the other data tells me, I may move on to either the privilege time counter or the user time counter. What I specifically note with these counters is the trend that they show me. Is CPU usage spiking? Is it rising steadily and then flatlining? Or is it a situation to where my process of interest was consuming its normal amount of CPU, which could be whatever is normal for that process, whether it's 2% or 22%, and then all of a sudden it spikes up to a high 95, 100% CPU and then flatlines. One thing to pay attention to with this particular counter, this is relative to the number of cores that are on your machine. So if you've got, say, a machine with 8 cores on it, and you see that CPU usage is all of a sudden pegged at 100%, it's not really 100% CPU. It's 100 out of 800 because you have 8 cores. So that's one thing to note when you're taking a look at this counter, to keep in mind the number of cores. What you can do to help with this is to log the processor object in Perfmon, because that will also log information about each and every logical core on the machine. Counters to pay attention to for memory issues. When I say memory issues, I'm not talking about system-wide memory like paged or non-paged pools or RAM. I'm talking about the process's own virtual address space. In 32-bit world, that's your 2-gig user mode space that you don't want to put too much pressure on. In the 64-bit world, it's a lot bigger than that. It's upwards of 7 terabyte or more, so we don't necessarily worry about that in the 64-bit world in terms of high memory pressure. But when I'm looking at Perfmon to help me diagnose what kind of memory issue I might have, or if I do have a memory pressure issue, I'm going to take a look at a couple of different counters from various objects. And I always start with the process object, and I take a look at the private bytes counter. This counter measures memory that is committed to the process. It's not shared amongst multiple processes. And it takes into consideration managed memory as well as native memory. So if you've got a memory pressure or memory leak, private bytes is going to be the one to show it. Every once in a while, I'll also take a look at virtual bytes. The difference between virtual bytes and private bytes is that virtual bytes includes not just memory in the committed state, but also memory in the reserved state. So what this means is that your virtual bytes counter is always going to be greater than or equal to, I don't know if I've actually ever seen it equal to, but it's usually greater than your private bytes counter. And if I see a constant trending increase in private bytes, what I'll typically look at is the handle count counter as well, because chances are if you've got a handle leak, it's going to show itself in a private bytes leak. One time long ago with a customer that I was troubleshooting a handle leak, it's the only handle leak that I've ever worked with a customer that I saw. I believe it was either a security tokens or one of those odd tokens where they had a handle leak and private bytes was not affected. So when you have a handle leak, it's almost sure to be also a private bytes leak. And then I'll compare that to, in the .NET CLR memory object, it's got several counters of instance of interest, the number of bytes in all heaps. If private bytes as well as number of bytes in all heaps are rising in a similar trend, that usually indicates that your memory issue that you're chasing is a managed or a .NET memory issue. But if the counters diverge, so private bytes increases, but number of bytes in all heaps is relatively flat, that usually means a native memory pressure issue, and we'll take a look at that in the next slide. There are some other counters in Perfmon that can give you a little bit more information about the state of your managed heaps. There are counters that tell you the amount of memory that's in generations 1, 2, as well as the large object heap. There's another counter in there for Generation 0, but it's important to understand that that counter does not represent memory that's committed in Gen 0, rather the budget for Gen 0. So keep that in mind when you're looking at these counters. This next slide shows you what I was talking about in the previous slide, which is how we determine in PerfMon what is a managed memory leak from what is a native memory leak. And in both of these graphs, the white line represents private bytes, whereas the blue line represents the number of bytes in all heaps counter, which is just managed memory, whereas private bytes represents both managed and native memory committed and is private to the process. The picture on the left shows you what an unmanaged leak looks like. This is where private bytes is increasing, and you can barely see that blue line at the very bottom that stays relatively flat. So that shows us that a counter that represents both native and managed memory is increasing, while a counter that represents only managed memory is relatively flat. So the difference there is the native memory. So that's our native memory leak. The picture on the right shows a very similar trend between private bytes and number of bytes in all heaps, and that would be representative of a managed memory pressure issue. If you have an ASP.NET application, very common for me to work with ASP.NET applications with customers. If I had to pick any technology where I go in and I work with customers to help them with their application, their production applications, the most popular one undoubtedly would be ASP.NET. ASP.NET has several counters that are specific just to it. There is a link here on the slide that you can use to get more information about each one of these counters. I won't talk about all of them in detail, but just some of the more common ones. I probably could have picked even more counters to put on this slide because ASP.NET has so many counters that a lot of times I'll pay attention to. In the ASP.NET object, I take a look at application restarts. And the reason I do this, this counter may not, it may mean something different from what you think it means. It doesn't mean worker process restarts. Instead, it just means the amount of times that an app domain has recycled. So the app domain, being a logical process boundary, can recycle within the process, whereas the process never recycles. And then requests queued is another counter that I pay attention to in the ASP.NET object. If this is rising or if this increases above zero, that usually indicates a problem that we need to investigate, whether it's on the back-end database side or something within our logic in ASP.NET that we need to investigate. The process object, I'll take a look at the ID process counter. If this changes, that means that the worker process has recycled. Sometimes this is due to scheduled recycle, say at night. I know I work with some customers that recycle their applications on a regular basis at nighttime when users aren't likely to be using the applications for whatever reason. But there are other times, obviously, if this recycles right during the business day, if this counter changes during the business day, more than likely it's not planned and it needs to be investigated. This can be indicative that your worker process just crashed. In the ASP.NET applications object, you can see I've got a whole list of counters here on the slide. I won't talk about all of them. I'll just talk about the first and the last one. Every once in a while, I'll be working with customers on performance engagements, whether it's in a lab or a pre-prod environment where they're trying to do load testing or stress testing, and they want to see at what point does the web application tip over or start to fail. A lot of times when we're trying to measure the throughput of the application, I focus heavily on these two counters, the request execution time and the request per second. Because really when we're trying to figure out what our throughput is, these are the counters that we care about most. How many requests per second can we serve without any requests queued or other problematic symptoms? And the request execution time will tell us how many requests can execute concurrently on the web server. And then finally, counters for .NET exceptions. It's been my experience that most customers take for granted or overlook, rather, the cost of managed exceptions. We have a lot of information on our website and various different areas that talk about the performance penalty of managed exceptions. There are a couple of counters here on the PowerPoint slide, number of exceptions thrown, as well as the rate, number of exceptions thrown per second, that I've used on various engagements with customers to show them the penalties that on the performance area that they are incurring by allowing so many managed exceptions to execute. And a lot of times customers aren't aware that their applications actually are throwing exceptions. They think that, we probably have all these logged in the event log, so if our event logs are empty, we don't have exceptions. And I've worked with a large number of customers that once we use PerfMon and take a look at these counters, they're really surprised to see just how many exceptions that they have. It's been my experience, and a lot of customers will ask me, well, how do I know at what rate, a number of exceptions thrown per second, am I starting to incur a performance penalty? We don't have any really hard, fast numbers on that, but it's been my experience working with customers over the years that once we get to around 15 exceptions or so per second, that's when we usually start to notice some kind of performance penalty. It could come out an elevated CPU, an increased memory footprint, because all these exceptions are objects and they take up memory. And it could also be increased execution time, because it could have a domino effect where all these extra exceptions are being created. They fill up the budgets for the generations. The generations are causing full GCs to execute, which causes more CPU to be consumed. And the more the GC kicks in sometimes, we can sometimes see a slight latency in request execution times. So I've worked with customers sometimes that have had an exceptions thrown per second at 50. I've had a couple over the years that have reached triple digits. And once we reduce those exceptions, they see huge gains in areas such as CPU usage reduced, memory footprint reduced, and a significantly reduced request execution time. So this is one of the counters that I'll use a lot, especially with customers that aren't aware of the performance penalty of managed exceptions. That's it for this part. The next session, we'll get into WinDBG and how we use it to debug .NET applications around the production environment. Thanks.